Welcome to Just a Minute. Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute, and to welcome our live physical audience who are in the flesh in front of us today. Welcome all of you. And let's introduce you to the four magnificent, talented people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Pippa Evans, Susie Ruffle, and Tony Hawks. I'm going to ask them to speak without hesitating, repeating, or deviating for 60 seconds. Let's see how that goes. We're going to start with you, Paul.
Yeah.
The game of darts. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating, or deviating on the game of darts, starting now?
The game of darts was invented by Will Self in 1968 in Ashby de la Zouche. And Will's great contribution to the game of darts was to suggest that the dart board should be placed at an approximate height that makes it easier for the person throwing the dart to hit the piece of wood, which is a circular thing hanging on the wall. And also, he said, why don't we have numbered sections? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, etc. And also a bullseye, trebles and doubles. The game of darts became very popular in the late 20th century when it was televised by the British Broadcasting Corporation. There were players like Jackie Wilson.
Oh, Tony.
Sort of deviation from the English language for a moment there. Sort of, I think he was trying to say players, but he said...
I've never been able to say players. No. Oh, a breakthrough!
It's a correct challenge. There was a little bit of hesitation, as we probably call it, rather than deviation from being able to speak. But yes, I'm going to give you that. And you have the subject of a game of darts with 20 seconds remaining, starting now.
The wonderful thing about darts is that it's a sport in which you...
was a little bit of... a little bit of a stumble there.
It takes me a quarter of an hour to get going.
I've heard that.
I'm going to give you that, Paul. Yes, there was a little bit of a stumble there. So you get the subject back. 17 seconds now remaining on the game of darts, starting now.
Jockey Wilson, Eric Bristow, these were amongst the giants of the sport.
Tony.
He was tiny, Jockey Wilson, wasn't he?
He's huge. Huge
bloke. Oh, yes, that's true. No, but he wasn't very tall, but it was a...
Yeah, but he was a giant when he was lying down.
Yeah. Yeah, I withdraw the challenge. I just wanted to speak a bit more.
And so you have. And in doing so, you've made an incorrect challenge and given Paul a point.
Yep.
11 seconds remaining, starting now.
There are some people who believe that the game of darts was invented as far back as the 14th century, when it was seen as an opportunity for archers to practice their art by playing indoors.
Paul speaking as the whistle went means he gains the point. Pippa, you're up next, my lovely. Now, I hope you haven't had these. Possibly so. Let's see. Nosy neighbours. What can you tell us about nosy neighbours in 60 seconds, starting now?
I have never had a nosy neighbour, but I am a nosy neighbour. And it started when I was a child because my neighbour was a super cool lady called Shelley who invented the font in Heathrow Airport. That's pretty cool, right? And so I would go and look through her windows to see if I could witness.
Paul.
Hesitation.
There was a slight hesitation. The slightest of, but you were going great guns there.
It was the memory of Shelley. That was what it was.
She invented a font.
She invented the font at Heathrow Airport.
What is the font?
The chunky font.
Shelley's font, yes.
I don't even know what that is. Am I alone in
that?
The
font is a sort of type of how the letters appear.
The font of how the font.
Literally.
Oh, I thought it was a thing inside where you christened people.
Well, you think a lot of people get christened at Heathrow Airport?
No, that's why I was confused.
So, a correct challenge, Paul. You get the subject of nosy neighbours with 36 seconds remaining, starting now.
I used to live next door to Pinocchio, and every time he told a lie, his nose poked through the cat flap. And it was extremely irritating because it would happen during Sunday lunch. This wooden proboscis would push through the hole in the door.
Tony.
Why was Pinocchio lying down?
Well, he'd been tired. I'm tired of telling lies. I mean, what's this about lying down? First of all, Jockey Wilson lying down. Now Pinocchio lying down.
Well, I thought, you know, your nose wouldn't go through a cat flap unless you were sort of, you know, complete...
You don't question that he was my next-door neighbour. You just question whether he was lying down or not.
Unfortunately, it's the way my mind works. All right, I withdraw it.
Again.
I'm happy that you've drawn that, because I think it's perfectly fair that Pinocchio could be lying down on his side and his wooden proboscis poking through Paul's cat flap, which is not a sentence I thought I'd say on any medium, but it's on the radio. So, 25 seconds remaining after the incorrect challenge. It's still with you, Paul, on Nosy Neighbours, starting now.
We grew up in a council flat in Fulham in the Palace Road of that aforementioned district, and we had a very nosy neighbour there because the walls were quite thin, and whenever they had some music playing, we could hear them dancing in the next door room. Sometimes we would go up to our nosy neighbours and say, "Excuse me, are you aware that your Joe Loss records are emanating through the wallpaper into our living space?" And they would say, "No, we don't."
Once again, Paul spoke as the whistle went and gets the point. Now, Susie, this is a marvellous one. I think you might have much to say about it. Tap dancing.
Okay.
Tap dancing is your subject, mm-hmm. and your time starts now.
Tap dancing is a type of dancing that lots of small children do. I did it a lot as a youth. I did tap, ballet and modern 3 times a week at the Purbrook Academy, just outside of Portsmouth. Now, the great thing about tap dancing is you get to make a brilliant sound with your feet. Now, you put a little bit of metal on the top of your toe.
Oh, Pippa.
Repetition of the word now.
Yes, it was close up. Normally I'd let it slide, but they were in close proximity,
very
which
close.
Made it more obvious. That was a wonderful start, though. You did 20 seconds without even a hint of hesitation, but it's a fair challenge from Pippa, so you get the subject, tap dancing. Let's hear what you've got to say about that, starting now.
I learnt tap dancing at the City Lits at the ripe old age of 27 with myself, Ruth Bratt, and 14 elderly ladies who didn't have anything else to do at 2:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday. It was led by Janet, who had an amazing bottom that wobbled beautifully in time with each stroke our feet made, each beat...
H. Thank you, everybody, for confirming.
H. The audience providing, again, the sort of fourth umpire. Paul, your challenge.
A repetition of each.
Yes. Absolutely right. And you've got in with just 15 seconds on the clock. I'm very interested to hear what you have to say about tap dancing, starting now.
At the same class, I remember being mesmerised by Janet's bottom as it seemed like a metronome to go up and down to the beat of the music. Perhaps her finest moment was how she sashayed across the floor to the tune of Saturday Night Fever. We all glanced towards her and said, "You..."
Once again, Paul was speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. And to you, Tony. You've got 60 seconds on the Beach Boys. Fabulous. And your time starts now.
I love the colourful clothes she wears.
What's the opposite of a tribute act?
Paul, what's your challenge under the rules of
just a minute? Oh, I just thought of that to say. I haven't got a challenge. I want to hear more of it.
It was so faltering and vulnerable. I was
it was.
I'm going to say that we must hear more from you on that. It was...
It's amazing it was ever a hit, really, isn't it?
Yes. 54 seconds. God, is that all you took? 6 seconds? Yeah. Most of that was a vowel sound. Time starts now.
And the way the sunlight plays upon her hair, I'm picking up good vibrations. It was a beautiful song, Brian.
It was a beautiful song.
Paul, I enjoyed that. Gives you an extra point, but I'm going to hear more because now we've started the good vibrations. I don't want them to end. 43 seconds. I'm wondering how much we have to pay the Beach Boys in licensing.
I don't think they'll recognise it, to be honest.
We'll get away with it. Yeah. 43 seconds starting now.
Everybody's got something.
Something like that.
USA.
Now, I like the fact that they wrote so many songs about this nighttime activity, which it isn't at all. I don't know why I said that. It was really done in the day. But they wrote...
Paul. Well, it wasn't the nighttime, daytime, but it was the R. It was the hesitation
R. I was thrown by the fact that I wasn't singing.
Correct challenge from Paul, though. 30 seconds on the Beach Boys. Paul, starting now.
Brian Wilson felt he'd recovered from the worst of his mental illness until he heard this episode of Just the Minute and Tony Hawk singing Good Vibrations. He was, of course, the great musical genius behind the Beach Boys. The others, associated brothers and cousins of his, they were the backing group behind his...
Tony.
Two behinds.
Was yes, you're right, absolutely. Two behinds.
He only had one. It was Janet that had two. Yeah.
Absolutely. A pair of behinds gets you the correct challenge with 12 seconds. Lord only knows what you'll do with this. There's still so much of the back catalogue to explore. So I'm going to sit back and enjoy this. Your time starts now.
I may not always love you as long as there are stars above you.
Oh, Susie, help us.
Repetition of You?
Yes, correct. Correct. Well done. Well challenged, which means you get the subject for 6 seconds on the Beach Boys. Bring it home. Your time starts now.
I don't know very much about the Beach Boys, but I did have pet sounds in my first car, which was a white Nissan Micra.
Yay! Yay! Ah, wonderful stuff. Susie, speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. And at the end of that round, why not rustle up some scores? Pippa and Susie are in joint third place. Just ahead of them, we have Tony. And roaring ahead at the moment, we have Paul Merton. So we move to round two. It can all change in a heartbeat. But we're back with you, Paul. And your subject is how to look after a parrot. How can you look after a parrot? In 60 seconds, starting now.
The most important thing, first of all, is to get a right-sized cage. One without walls or a roof would probably suit a parrot best. Parrots have a peculiar diet. They can only eat things that rhyme with them. For example, carrot. Or if the parrot's name is Polly, Holly. I had a parrot once that was called Frozen Peas, and it would eat chosen bees. And this was something that we were very amused about at the time, but of course we are the only ones in that frame of mind. The parrot that I loved best of all was called Ebenezer Scrooge. He was a magnificent bird. He would fly round the house every day and he would wink at you as if to say, I am free to fly here and there, but not repeat fly.
Pippa.
A repetition of the word fly.
Yes, indeed. Correctly observed. Which means you get to talk about how to look after a parrot in 22 seconds, starting now.
I had a parrot called Jeffrey. He lived in a cage and it was gilded because we were fancy. And as fancy people...
Oh,
I'm so raging at myself.
Fancy people can't escape the rules of Just a Minute, is what we've learned. Susie, your challenge?
Repetition of fancy.
Absolutely so. Yes, correct challenge. And you get the subject with 13 seconds on the clock. How to look after a parrot, and your time starts now.
I think the main way to look after a parrot would be to make sure it doesn't get out if it's meant to stay in. During lockdown, there was a very famous viral video of a woman that lost her parrot, and the parrot was called Chanel. And there was a video of the woman screaming at...
The beginnings of the whistle, and therefore I'm going to give it in that instance to Susie. Pippa, you have the subject next, and it's wonderful. Les Miserables. Les Miserables. We want the whole story, or whatever you choose to give us of it, in 60 seconds, starting now.
It's a brilliant musical about some very sad people, but they decided to keep it in the French because the Miserables doesn't sound as good as Les Miserables. Les Miserables also makes people feel fancy when they go to see it because it's French. So,
Paul.
Repetition of French.
Yes, absolutely right. There was indeed a repetition of French. 36 seconds on the clock for you on Les Miserables, starting now.
The very first production that happened in the West End, transferred from the Barbican, or was it the National Theatre, ran for many years, and the cast got a bit bored, and one night they passed a stuffed animal, which was a little squirrel, from hand to fist as the play progressed. And at one...
Tony.
You can't take an animal from someone else with a fist.
Yes, but you can't repeat hand.
I know. So deviation from what is possible.
Well, there's allowed a little bit of flight of fancy, I would suggest.
All right, I thought it was all about being needlessly pedantic, this show.
I think you've certainly made it that way. I'm going to give you a point for being always the pedant, but I'm going to stick with Paul.
Peasant,
I don't want to encourage you further, but I, on this occasion... 20 seconds, it's still with you, Paul, starting now.
I saw the original being played in Australia at Sydney some years after it had opened here in the metropolis, and there was something about seeing the Australian version which appealed to me greatly, I suppose because their populace made up a lot of people who were convicts who were sent there from here. It resonated.
Susie, we're with you next.
Yes.
And a wonderful subject.
Yes.
I sense you might know something about. The Isle of Wight, a place of sea and sun and second homes. Let's see what you have to say about that in 60 seconds starting now.
The Isle of Wight is opposite my hometown, which is Portsmouth, so I went there a lot as a child. Now, the best way to get to the...
Oh, sorry.
I was about to talk about the hovercraft.
Wow.
And I got so excited. I'm so sorry.
Let's check Pippa's challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed.
I hear you.
So 51 seconds on the Isle of Wight, please, starting now.
I used to take old people on holidays to the Isle of Wight. Two-star hotel... The Queen's, which was in an area that had a...
Tony.
I think there was a hesitation.
Yeah.
I think you're right, sir.
I couldn't remember where I used to take them, which is worrying, really, isn't it? Because I spent a lot of time there with them. Anyway.
We weren't that interested. You could have said anything.
Tony. I considered you to be a gentleman. That was a correct challenge, though. You've got 40 seconds on the clock on the Isle of Wight, starting now.
What's brown, steams, and comes out of cows? The Isle of Wight is, without any doubt whatsoever, the finest joke ever written.
Well, you've missed out a word.
Have I?
Isle of Wight ferry. The Isle
of
Wight.
I wonder why it didn't go down that well.
The Isle of Wight doesn't come out of cows.
No. You're right, you picked up on that. That's why I didn't get a laugh.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a strange challenge. It's missing a word out from the joke, deviation.
Well, actually, it's probably not within the rules of just a minute, Sue.
I'm going to say that I enjoyed Paul's interjection, which was factually correct. He gets a point, but I'd like you to stick with the subject, if that's all right, Tony, because I'm just really
Can I just point out, Tony, your criticism of Pippa was it wasn't very interesting.
Sharpen up. 31 seconds for you to turn things around, starting now.
I will tell you another string of jokes on this particular island, all of which with one mistake in the punchline. Listen out carefully as I begin with the first one. There is a man walking down the street in Sandown. Up to him comes a parrot, which says, "Ooh, who's a cheeky boy then?"
Paul.
Well, just died a natural death. I mean, it was hesitation, thank God.
Yes. I'm going to give you that. You have the Isle of Wight with 9 seconds remaining, starting now.
The Isle of Wight. I remember the very first time I went there, we sailed across from Portsmouth on the ferry and we looked over towards the island as it came...
Oh. Paul speaking as the whistle went. Tony, we're back with you.
Ooh.
The snowball effect. What can you tell us about the snowball effect without hesitating, repeating or deviating in 60 seconds starting now?
The snowball effect. If, say, you had a string of parties at a time when you weren't allowed to have them, one after the other, the snowball effect of that would be very little would happen to you whatsoever. Seems to be the way it's worked out recently. Of course, this means that if there are lots of events... Compiling.
Susie.
Do you repeat events? No?
Not that I was aware of.
In my head, he did. Does that count?
It could be a psychic challenge. It might happen.
I've never done the show before, so I don't know if that's allowed. Is a psychic challenge allowed? I feel like he'd already thought
what?
Events.
If he goes on to repeat events, then you will be getting the point and the subject for a psychic challenge. And it will be our first psychic challenge. Yes. We'll have to see how it goes. For now, we will continue with Tony. 37
apologies.
Seconds.
Apologies, Tony.
Events like this never really...
Susie, what's your challenge?
Events.
My God, you're a seer! I've no idea.
Am I reinvented?
reinventing the game on my first go. This is huge.
You get a point, not only for repetition, you get an extra point for predicting it.
Thank you.
That's 2 points, plus you get the subject of the snowball effect, with 35 seconds remaining, starting now.
If you had an event where people had come and then you got them ill from COVID...
There was a bit of a hesitation, yes.
But I've got a stutter and that's very rude. Oh. So.
Slam-a-lam. There was a winding down, which I think is... I will uphold your challenge. There was a slight winding down.
I was just
down.
So excited from events. I was just so excited from it. I mean, I'm still getting over it, if I'm honest.
Whatever happens, you were the first person to have made a preemptive challenge in radio. 30 seconds for you, Pippa, starting now.
The snowball effect is what happens when you drink a snowball, which is perhaps the most disgusting cocktail that could be made. If you have never endured one of these, it is lemonade and advocaat, a word not many people can pronounce. A custard-like substance that comes in a bottle and sits at the back of your parents' liquor cabinet. No one ever touches it except in an emergency.
Beautifully done. Pippa was speaking as the whistle went, which means she gains that valuable point. And that is the end of that round. So let's see how we're all placed. In fourth position, just narrowly in fourth position, I want to make that clear because he'll get upset, it's Tony. That in no way is a reflection of your vocal
talent. Did you take points off for the singing?
No, we just didn't add them on. Oh, okay. Pippa and Susie are buying for second place, and Paul is still strongly in the lead. And we're back with you, Paul. We've got comedy legend Charlie Chaplin. Okay, let's see if you can speak, and I suspect you'll be able to, for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating, on Charlie Chaplin, starting now.
Charlie Chaplin, born in 1889, moved to America in 1913, where he joined the Maxented Keystone Film Company.
Pippa.
Felt like a slight hesitation.
It was a slight hesitation. Yes, I shall give you that. Very slight.
So scary to challenge Paul Merton. You can feel even the audience is like, how dare she? Could she do that?
Very, very slight, but Paul has played the game many times and is the master, so we have to hold him to a high standard.
It's true.
52 seconds on the clock with Charlie Chaplin. Your time, Pippa, starts now.
Charlie Chaplin had a tiny moustache and he wore a suit and he did a funny walk and everybody loves Charlie Chaplin.
Paul.
Slight hesitation.
It would have been the slightest of slightest hesitations. For me, there was still a little bit of bounce to it. I'll let carry on, but I will wait and see. See, Paul is desperate to get this back because he knows everything about Charlie Chaplin.
Not everything.
I think I'd be surprised.
I did know that he wore a funny suit and had a small moustache.
You get to keep the subject, Pippa. 44 seconds, off you go now.
Charlie Chaplin knows everything about Paul Merton and often appears at Paul Merton festivals where...
Oh, dear. Yeah. Paul.
Well, I don't wish to end my career, but it's a repetition of Paul Merton. Yeah. Of which we can have too much.
Never have too much. And the subject is back with you with the correct challenge. You've got 37 seconds, Paul. Your time starts now.
Within 2 years of making his first one-reeler, he was a worldwide star, known throughout all of Europe, China, Russia, anywhere you can think of that showed movies, Charlie Chaplin was well known. He was the first of the true global superstars, him and Mary Pickford, perhaps. And in the course of the silent film era, which ran from roughly his debut through to 1931 when he released...
Tony.
Repetition of 19.
Yes, there was a 19 at the beginning. Correct.
Absolutely.
Very correct challenge. Well listened out for Tony. You've got the subject with 11 seconds on the clock. Charlie Chaplin, your time starts now.
When I was at school, I used to like doing a Charlie Chaplin impression, where I walked along pretending to wiggle a stick with my right hand, waddling from left to right.
Paul.
It was a cane.
Not in my impression, it wasn't.
Cane is a stick. I was being silly.
The thing is, the two of you are equally balanced in your pedantry day, and I'm loving it. I'm going to uphold Tony's right to carry on the subject with a second remaining. A cane can be a stick, of course. You've got 1 second. Your time starts now.
Lulu used to say...
only speaking as the whistle went gets the point. And it's our final round.
Oh.
Yes. It's come on us quick. It's amazing when you listen to that much Beach Boys how time flies. Pippa. My guru. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on my guru? Your time starts now.
My guru is Ringo Starr, the fourth Beatle, and the one that people often are rude about despite not really knowing his solo work. Ringo often...
Paul.
Repetition of Ringo.
There was a double Ringo. A correct challenge. You get the subject my guru with 45 seconds... And the time begins now.
Ringo Starr wore funny clothes and had a great big nose, and that's why people...
Tony.
He wasn't Scandinavian.
That's the secret. Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, Tony, I enjoyed it. You're getting a point for making me laugh, but there's not a correct challenge under the rules of just a minute. So... 42 seconds you've still got left, Paul. Let's hear it now.
The man who taught the Beatles all about meditation, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, was somebody that I followed for a while as I picked up TM when I was in my early 20s. It's a very good way of relaxing to close your eyes and sit in a room for 20 minutes. I was given a mantra and you concentrate on this particular thing and it creates vibrations within you and you soar along on a vibration and you say to yourself... Vibrations and vibration. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Vibrations, yes. Repetition.
Vibration, vibrations.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, that's all right.
Don't worry.
20 seconds, Paul. You've got remaining on the subject of my guru starting now.
I don't know how popular gurus are with people these days. There are individuals who follow the likes of people. Oh, that's too many peoples.
Susie.
Two peoples.
There are a couple of peoples Absolutely. In there. 12 seconds. Let's hear what you've got to say about my guru, Susie. And your time starts now.
When I used to go to yoga quite regularly, we would do the class in front of a guru. And I never asked what they were the guru of. And now, retrospectively, I really think I should have known, seeing as I was...
Susie, speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. And with that, that's the end of the show. It's very, very close. In joint third position, we've got Susie and Tony. Pippa is narrowly ahead in second place, and out front, Mr. Paul Merton. And there, I'm afraid, my lovelies, we've got to leave you. But first of all, thank you to our incredible players of today's game. Paul Merton, Pippa Evans, Susie Ruffle, and Tony Hawkes. We are, of course... indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised the show, and to our wonderful Nicholas Parsons, who chaired this programme Just a Minute for over 50 exemplary years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle with such aplomb. The producer was Richard Morris, and this was a BBC Studios production. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you ever so for listening, and please do join us again when we next play Just a Minute.